You're listening to The Eye of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Can I do it again?
No, not tonight. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, and then I got to talk to some people out there. Okay, you can do it again tomorrow night.
All right.
See you later. I'll tuck you in. Good night, baby.
Good night.
Well, folks, got a lot to talk about tonight. And before we get into the meat of the broadcast, I want to do a couple of things. Number one is I want to announce that the Area 51 thing that we announced some months ago and was not able to find the time to be able to do it. We now have a date. We have rooms reserved, everything. It's going to be on the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th of July. 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th of July at the Little Alien Inn in Nevada on the Extraterrestrial Highway. And it'll be a couple of days of lectures and educational things and nightly field trips to observe the skies, and can't promise that you're going to see anything. I've spent weeks out there and have seen nothing. I've spent weeks out there and seen some of the most unbelievable, fantastic things that you could imagine. I've gone for just taking a chance and gone for one or two nights and seen incredible things. I've gone for a couple of nights and seen nothing. So I can't guarantee that you're going to see anything, but I can guarantee you're going to have great food at the Little Alien Inn. You're going to have a great time, and we're going to keep you so busy that you're going to be so exhausted that you're not even going to be in your room except to sleep. And when you go into sleep, you're going to pass right out, and you're going to sleep until it's time to get up, and then we're going to go hit it again. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. I don't have the, I have the prices, but they haven't all been worked out yet. So I'll be giving you the prices within the next couple of days, and I'll be giving you per couple prices, single prices for room and board, all lectures and field trips, and then I'll be giving separate prices for people who want to come and camp out for just meals and the lectures and field trips, because there are only 17 rooms, ladies and gentlemen. Or not 17 rooms, but beds for 17 people, let me put it that way, and rooms. So those of you who have been thinking about making an Area 51 field trip, this is not the annual CAGI convention, CAGI Intelligence Service Convention. It is something entirely different. I'll be announcing the dates for our conference convention later, but right now you've got that information. So start making plans, start getting ready to send your money in, because it's a first-come, first-served basis for the rooms and beds. Anybody who comes after that will either have to accept a refund. And for the reservations, let me tell you this right now. People who send in reservations for the rooms and the beds, there is no refund whatsoever under any circumstances. Understand that right now. So if you think that there's a possibility that you can't make it, don't send any deposit or any money, okay? And don't send any money until I tell you how much it is. But there are no refunds for those who actually manage to get a validated reservation on the rooms and beds, and they all have to be made through me. They cannot be made through the Little Alien, because I have booked all those rooms in my name. All the beds and rooms have been booked in my name, and there are none available for anybody. So, for those who do not get beds and rooms, you will be allowed to camp there for nothing. Doesn't cost anything to camp, and we'll give you a special price for meals, and of course, it'll be the same price for the lectures and for the field trips. All guided and. Well, let me put it this way. I have never taken anyone to Area 51 who didn't have one of the greatest times they've ever had in their life, whether they saw anything or not. And on occasion, many people saw some incredible things, and on other occasions, we just had a good time sitting out under the stars and enjoying each other's company because nothing happened. So, I'll tell you up front. Next is that I want to sincerely thank, on the occasion of the 4th anniversary of the Hour of the Time, Gary Bourgeois, who has done so much to help us out. He's been with us since the beginning. Since really the very beginning. And whenever I've called on Gary to give me a hand or help me picking some equipment or how do you wire this or whatever, he has always been right there and done everything within his power and his abilities to help. Gary is the one who, when I'm unable to do the show and need somebody to do reruns, we send them to Gary, and Gary's the one who's responsible for that. So, and not only that, but he's, over the last 4 years, he's become a very, very good friend. I really like him an awful lot, and I really respect him, and I thank him so much for all the help that he's always given to us. And I know he's the last one to be thanked, but and that's simply because I want the last one to be the one that you remember the most. And at the same time, I want to thank all of the people, Adam Locke and George McClintock, and all of the people at WWCR who do a good job, and for the transient people who work at night and do the board. There have been some really good ones, and those I thank, and there have been some that were not so good, and those I thank also for the nights that they did it right. So that takes care of the 4th anniversary. You're not going to hear anything more about that until next year on our 5th anniversary. If we're still broadcasting, then we'll do a 5th anniversary broadcast, because I'll tell you, getting through a week with this broadcast is really something. So when we hit a year milestone, that's really something. And I mean it really sincerely from my heart. It's a great accomplishment and a point of pride around here. And we never know how long it's going to last, if it does. So there you have all of that. Just a little note of what we've been doing, and to give you a couple of phone numbers. We have moved the Research Center and Veritas from St. John's, and we're in our new building. Now, listen to me carefully. Make sure you get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, and then I'm going to give you the new phone numbers. And I'm going to give you the numbers to fax. I'm going to give you the number for Veritas, and I'm going to give you the number for the Research Center and for me. So... And I'm going to be at the Research Center more than I ever was before. And it's just a better situation overall, folks. Let me put it that way. So make sure you've got your pen and paper. When you call for Veritas, or you want to ask Veritas a question, or you need something from Veritas, or you want to order a subscription or something like that, please, ladies and gentlemen, don't call me. Because I do not handle that. Michael Aponte and Sharon Aponte handle all of that stuff. And if you call me, all I'm going to tell you is the same thing I'm telling you now. I don't handle it. Call Mike and Sharon. So better get that through your heads right now. People are still writing me about Veritas and for subscriptions and things like that. I don't do that. I manage the paper. I manage the Research Center. I do a lot of editing. I do a lot of writing for the paper, but I don't run it. Michael Aponte runs it, and his wife Sharon helps him, and they're really responsible for all of that stuff. So give them the credit and give them the courtesy of directing your inquiries and your letters and your subscription requests and your complaints and anything else, letters to the editor, all goes to them. And I'm going to give you the number for Veritas. Remember, this is for Veritas. If you want to call and talk to me, by the same token, don't call Veritas. They're going to tell you it's the wrong number, and they're going to give you the other number to call me. So this is the Veritas number, This is the number for the newspaper business, for anything that you have to do connected with the newspaper. 520-333-5661. Once again, it's 520-333-5661. That's also the number that you use for the present time, to send faxes to me or to Veritas. Okay? If you're calling and you want to talk to someone on business about Veritas, that's the number to use. If you're going to send a fax to me or to Veritas, either one, or to the Intelligence Service or to the CAGI News Service, you use that same Veritas number. And you don't have to punch any buttons or anything like that. When you hear the, we have a special device on the phone that it will answer the phone first. If it detects a fax tone, it will automatically switch your call, your fax call to the fax computer. If there is no fax tone, if you have an old machine, it will tell you at a certain time what to push on your touch tone phone. If you have a rotary phone, you're out of luck. You can't send us, you can't do anything, okay? Unless your fax machine has a tone, has a fax tone, then you're okay. All right, now remember, for Veritas to conduct any voice business, to talk to somebody about your subscription or about anything concerning the newspaper, contributions, you want to write an article, you have a complaint, you want to ask about back issues, anything to do with the newspaper, or you just want to call and thank them for what a wonderful job that they do, you call 333-5661, and that's area code 520. That's 520-333-5661. That's also the temporary fax number for Veritas and for me, for CAGI, for the Intelligence Service, for everybody, but only for faxes, okay? If you want to call and talk to me, you have to call the Research Center. Or if you want to call specifically about CAGI business, CAGI News Service, or the Intelligence Service, this is the number that you need to call. The number is 520-333-5691. That's 520-333-5691. Now, don't call, folks, to have me do research for you. I don't do that. One of my messages, one of my greatest endeavors is to get you up off your butts to do your own research, to figure things out, and you've got the same capabilities that I have. Same brain, everything else. And I don't care how hard you work, you probably have less time than I do. And I'll guarantee you that, and I'll stack my time up against anybody's any day of the week. So, don't call me to do your research. I won't do it, and neither will anybody else here. Okay? We might be able to steer you in a certain direction, or like we did have done with people before, sort of help you learn how, but we won't do it for you, and we won't tell you exactly how to do it. We will help you, because if we do those things for you, you won't do it. I learned that a long time ago. People will get somebody else to do whatever they can. They won't do it themselves if you let them use you that way. And I won't do it. And I won't allow anybody who's with me to be used in that manner or to do it either. You've got to learn sometime, and I know you don't like to be told this, and you don't like to be talked to in this manner, but it's necessary. It's the human way. It's the human condition. It's human nature, however you want to term it. And every one of you out there listening to me knows it. Your complaints fall on deaf ears around here. I've become jaded to all of that stuff over the years. Frankly, my dear Scarlett, I just don't give a damn. Okay? I have a mission. If you want to be a part of that mission and pull your load, then by golly, I'm with you all the way. If you don't, I don't care. If you're not with us, then you're against us. Get out of the way, because we'll run right over you. And I'm not pulling your leg there. So once again, my number, 520-333-5691. That's 520-333-5691. We've had some incredible problems in this move. On the same exact day, two of our main computers, in fact, the two main computers, both died. I mean, the computers didn't die, but something happened and nothing would work. So it took us quite a while to solve those problems. Both of those computers are back up online. Apparently, there's some kind of bug in Windows 95. And if you've got Windows 95, eventually, from what I understand, it's going to take a dive on you. There is an upgrade that you can get off the Windows web page, the Microsoft Windows web page on the internet. And I don't have that address with me right here, but we got that upgrade. We upgraded our computers, and everything's working fine now. So if you're using Windows 95, I would urge you to do that. Now, we didn't want to go to Windows 95. We were using Windows for Work Groups, which is 3.11. It was working wonderful for us. But then to do the newspaper and some other things that we had to do, we had to go to Windows 95 in order to get the best software that will do what we wanted to do. And we were very careful not to ever go online with Microsoft with Windows 95 because of the built-in program that will give them all the information on your hard drive. Microsoft has denied it, and Microsoft is lying. I can tell you that right now because we've had some computer experts go through the code on Windows 95, and they tell us that there is a program in Windows 95 that will deliver all the names of all the directories and files that are on your hard drive to Microsoft. If you plug into any kind of Microsoft network, either to register your program if you have Windows 95 or to plug into their internet network or anything like that. It will not do that if you're going to the Microsoft web page, or things of that nature. So, wow, what next? We need four phones. We have to have four phones. We're only able to get two because there's only a cable to the building where we're in that will carry two phones. And so now we have to dig an 18-inch deep trench all around the building to the back to the phone box. And they're going to put in more cables so that we can have as many phones as we want, really. Although we're going to start off with just two more, may end up with more phones eventually. The Research Center is no longer open to the public. You can come if you're around in this area. You can give us a call, and if I'm available, you can make an appointment and come down and visit with me. I welcome anybody that wants to come and visit. But you cannot use the library because too many people have come in the name of helping us and freedom, and we want to help save this country, and they've stolen some of the rarest books that we have. And so, I don't care who you are, what you say anymore. I don't believe, I don't believe that we need to take a chance losing things that we've worked so much for and that are so valuable and so rare and cost so much money, and that many of which are just totally irreplaceable. Sometime in the near future, we're going to be holding workshops and seminars for select people who want to start a full-size newspaper or a tabloid-type newspaper in their hometown. We'll bring you out here for 2 weeks. You know, it's going to cost you some money because you're going to have to pay for a place to stay, and you're going to have to pay for your meals. And of course, we're going to charge a fee for this, but it's not going to be exorbitant. In 2 weeks, we're going to teach you how to produce your own newspaper for those people who are really interested in that. And you'll be able to produce a newspaper if you have the artistic and layout ability like Michael Aponte does that's equal to or better than Veritas. That will guarantee you. If you don't have the artistic ability or the ability to see things in an artistic way and make a nice layout in the paper, then we can't guarantee that, because that's just a talent that is within people that we can't teach you in 2 weeks. We can teach you all the mechanics, how to do it, where to get supplies, what kind of software to use. The whole works. We'll even show you how to take it to, you know, lay it up and take it to the printer, and you can watch it come right off the printing press and everything. So watch for that announcement sometime in the near future. And we can't take any more than 5 to 10 people for that, simply because of the we want you to learn. We could take 100 people, but you know, we want you to get some hands-on. We're going to let you, the people that do this, we're going to actually teach you and nurse you through and let you actually put together and print a whole issue of Veritas. So that's how we're going to do that. And when you go home, you'll have all the knowledge that you need to do the same thing in your hometown. And I hope that many of you take us up on it, because we're not going to charge you very much for teaching you for those 2 weeks. The main expense is going to be your transportation and your food and lodging. But we will try to make some arrangement with some motel and restaurant to try to bring those prices down if we possibly can. So I think that's something that many of you can be looking forward to. I know many of you are going to take advantage of these things. Also watch in the near future. We'll be announcing the date of this year's conference/convention. And it's going to be better than any that we've ever had before. We're going to try to have 2 this year, if we can. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
I've been watching you for ages, like a boat without a mast, struggling with the tide of destiny between the future and the past. I'm a lightning, I'm a sea.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I need to sort of say one other thing. From now on, no matter what you order from us, I don't care whether it's a subscription to Veritas or whether it's books, material, trees and documents, anything, I don't care what it is. If you order anything from us from now on, make all checks, money orders, our money orders, payable to Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, Harvest. From now on, any orders that you place through us, whether it's for Veritas or for my book or for the treason documents or for tapes of the hour of the time, no matter what it is, order from Harvest, H-A-R-V as in Victor, E-S-T. Okay? No more checks made out to Veritas. No more checks or money orders made out to Image 1216. Nothing should ever be made out to Annie ever again. Everything should all be made out to Harvest, H-A-R, V as in Victor, E-S-T, no matter what it is. And unless we notify you otherwise between now and whenever, everything is, should all be made out to Harvest, and Harvest only, H-A-R-V-E-S-T. Okay, wow, I got so much to talk about here. It's incredible. It appears that the thing in Georgia with Mr. Starr and the other fellow is a setup by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Those two gentlemen who were arrested did not do anything, did not participate in any conspiracy, did not talk about building bombs, did not build any bombs, did not want any bombs. Did not want any bombs on their property, did not have any bombs on their property, did not put any bombs on their property, did not own any bomb-making materials of any kind whatsoever. This has all been admitted by the BATF agents in court, in the courtroom, in their depositions and on the stand, that they completely 100% set these guys up. The BATF is... one of the most criminal, one of the most outrageous, irresponsible, criminal bunch of jackbooted Nazi thugs that has ever existed upon the face of this earth. They are scum. They are worms. They are despicable. They should be disbanded. They should be fired. Most of them, in my estimation, should be immediately arrested, tried, convicted, and thrown in jail, and they should throw the key away forever. This guy, this BATF agent, and we'll be revealing more about that in the upcoming issue of Veritas. It's going to be the headline story, how they set these guys up and framed them, how they're the ones who conspired to make the bombs, how they talked these other guys, tried to talk them into going along with it, and they absolutely refused, said they didn't want anything to do with it. So they made, the BATF made these pipe bombs. And they, without Mr. Starr's permission, went on his property and buried them. And the BATF is the ones who talked about it. They're the ones who made them. And they're the ones who buried them on Mr. Starr's property. And then they're the ones who came along and arrested Mr. Starr and his compatriot on the charges of it just makes me sick to death that there are people like this in our government that are so lowlife, despicable, scum, puke-faced pig, and I would love to say a few words that I learned in the Navy, but I am restraining myself. These people need to be put out of action. They need to be disbanded. The BATF needs to be absolutely just done away with, eliminated. Everybody who is in the BATF should be barred from ever working for any other government organization or holding any office whatsoever, and should be kicked out in the street in the middle of winter. And I hope that everybody has sense enough not to take them in out of the cold. These people need to be punished. They are worthless. Anybody who could do what the BATF has done to these two people in Georgia, I'm just at a loss with this. I don't understand how this could happen. It drives me up the wall. It's unbelievable. It's unthinkable that someone in a law, supposedly, we found out that they're not a law enforcement agency. They're a destroy this country agency. How they could sit there and plot how to do this to just frame these guys and put them in jail for when they haven't done anything, and the only people who committed a crime were the BATF agents in this whole process. And nobody's even talking about arresting them for what they did. They should be arrested. What they did is criminal. It's a crime. It's a felony, what they did to these people. And they should be made to pay for it. They should be arrested, somebody should be pressing charges against them. They should be arrested. They should be thrown in jail. And somebody should throw the key away, in my estimation, in my humble opinion, if you want it. There it is. And I hope that the two gentlemen who were framed by these scum-sucking Nazi jack-booted thug pigs sue them for everything that they have, individually, as people, and the It happens all the time. Since nothing, it happens all the time. Just recently, there were two more incidents of the BATF breaking down doors at the wrong house, throwing people to the floor, handcuffing them, terrorizing them, tearing their house up, putting guns to their head. Innocent people who have never done anything in their life. And then when they find out that they've got the wrong house, guess what they do, folks? They don't even say, "I'm sorry." They're gruff, they're mean, they're belligerent, they don't try to put anything back in its proper place. They just stomp out, slam the door, and leave these people sitting there, shaking with fear, wondering, what in the hell happened, and why did it happen to me? Boy, you talk about a rogue organization. You talk about criminals. You talk about terrorists. Well, Mr. Feel Your Pain Clinton, you don't need to look any further than your own Washington, D.C. to find all the terrorists that you could ever possibly want. And I'm going to tell you right now, they seeded the press, and the press spread all over this country that those two guys were making those bombs to target the Olympic Games in Atlanta this summer. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe something's going to happen at the Olympic Games, but if it does, it'll be the BATF, the FBI, and international socialism, the one world order utopian scum-sucking Nazi jackbooted thug pigs that do it. Not any patriot, not any militia in this country. Now, everybody in the news media, all of the communist news networks who reported that and vilified those gentlemen and defamed their character and called them terrorists and accused them of such a heinous crime are also just as guilty as the BATF. The communist news networks and the communist establishment print in this country are discredited. Discredited. They are not journalists. They are not reporters. They are fools who are bent on destroying the last vestige of decency, morals, ethics, and honor. And they are labeling the men and women who have always traditionally fought for this country to preserve our freedom and are responsible for the fact that we even have a country and a constitution and what little freedoms we have left. They're calling these people terrorists and criminals. And I tell you right now that those people in the media are the lowest life scum, just like the BATF, that walk upon the face of this earth. They are liars. Unmitigated, barefaced liars. They are not objective. They wouldn't know objective if it hit them upside the head and it was the size of a barn. They don't investigate at all. They are parrots. They are talking heads with nothing between their ears. They are despicable, discredited traitors. Yes, you heard me right. They are traitors. And the quicker you start calling them what they are, the better off you will be. Stop buying their newspapers. Stop watching their television news.
and tell them. Every time you see one of them within hearing distance, yell at them. You are discredited. You are a traitor to the United States of America. You are a despicable disgrace to every man and woman who ever died to protect this country and the freedom of all Americans of all races, religions, and creeds. And until you start calling a spade, they're not going to understand what's happening. And Montana? Let's talk about Montana for a little bit. Montana is not Waco, ladies and gentlemen, as much as some of you out there who are a little bit on the emotional, reactionary, and maybe even wacko side, and there are plenty of those around in every group of people that exist on the face of this earth. And the Patriot militia community has its share, believe me. It is not Waco. It is not Ruby Ridge. You see, nobody snuck up on them and attacked them and killed a bunch of them, fired down through their roof with machine guns. Nobody shot them when they came to the door and said, hey, stop, there's women and children in here, like they did David Koresh. Nobody snuck up in the woods and killed a dog and a 14-year-old boy by shooting him in the back here, or a woman holding her child to her breast, her baby. No one has done any of that in Montana. Those freemen knew for 2 years that there were warrants issued for their arrest, and they did nothing to take care of that situation, and they had 2 years in which to do something to take care of those warrants. They did not do it. They didn't do it, folks. Everybody in this country knew, because I said it on this broadcast. 2 years ago, I said, these guys have warrants out for their arrest. Sooner or later, somebody's going to come to get them. It's inevitable. And I said on the air, if you Freeman in Montana are listening, take care of those warrants. Answer the charges. Go into town. Do something, because sooner or later somebody's going to come after you. Those of you who have been listening to this broadcast for 4 years know I said that. It's on tape. It's on record. It's a fact. And I said it a couple of times during the months and 2 years following that broadcast. So it's no surprise that somebody went up there to get those freemen. Now, I think, in my heart, that Leroy Schweitzer and the other freemen who were involved in this common law lien and the writing of their own money orders and all of that kind of stuff, I think that they were trying, honestly, to find a way around the crooked system that is in place, that's robbing us daily of our sustenance and the sweat of our labor and everything else. And I think that they found all of the keys and all of the clues and the way to do it under the Uniform Commercial Code, just like the Federal Reserve does it. And I think they were honestly in the beginning trying to get themselves out from under that yoke. And I think they succeeded. But then what happened? After they got their IRS liens removed and their IRS debts absolved and paid off, and they got the mortgages removed from some of their properties, they failed on the ranch because the ranch was foreclosed and auctioned off. And they refused to leave. If anybody came out, they said they'd shoot them. Many people, they said they'd hang them. Now this, folks, we have talked to just about everybody in that town up there, Jordan and the surrounding countryside. And these guys have made enemies of almost everybody who lives there, including their own relatives. They have done things that are not the proper thing to do to your neighbors, whether it was proper under the common law or not. I'm going to tell you right now some of the things that they did. They wanted to make a township. To make a township, you've got to have 6 square miles of land. And you've got to be able to control the vote in that 6 square miles, because if anybody votes against you, you can't have a township. So they chose off the land, and they put ads in the paper challenging the claim for the land. And if nobody answered their assertions in those ads in the papers, they filed the liens and the common law documents in the court and just took the land. And if anybody came out, they put a gun to their head and say, hey, this is our land now, get off, or if you come back, we're gonna take you to our court, and we'll hang you. You know, this is what the people up there tell us. And it's not just one person, or two people, or three people. It's a whole bunch of people, and they all tell the same story. You don't do that to your neighbors, ladies and gentlemen. So they made a lot of enemies. Now, you might be able to do that and get away with it under the common law. I really, to tell you the truth, don't know, because I never would have even thought of ever doing such a thing to my neighbors. So it never occurred to me to do any research along those lines. I don't know if it's right under the law or not. They claim that it is, and they got their township. The ranch is 900 and something acres, but they got a township now that's 6 square miles. And they got their own court and their own sheriff and everything else. We spoke to one gentleman who had leased a portion or acreage of land, and he had planted wheat. He planted this wheat. He tilled the soil, planted the wheat, done all of this stuff. Come time to do his harvest, he went out there with a combine, a harvester, or whatever you want to call it. And he was met by armed men in the road who told him that the field no longer was leased to him, and that the wheat was not his anymore, and it all belonged to them, and that he had to turn around and go back, and they did this at gunpoint. These people are not lying. They have no reason to lie. These freemen, some of them are relatives of these people. Almost everybody in the whole town is related, ladies and gentlemen. Now, they may have been right in what they did, according to the common law. Maybe they did it all right and they could do it. But ethically and morally, in my humble opinion, in my estimation, it was wrong. Also, I can understand why someone would research the Uniform Commercial Code and the law and try to figure out a way to keep the federal government and the Internal Revenue Service from stealing everything that they ever make. I can understand that. And I can understand why they would use those techniques to get that burden off of their back. And I would support that 100%. But when they went beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, just because somebody didn't do something the way that they thought that they should do it, they file liens of millions of dollars against these people and then take these liens and convert them into money. The way I understand the law, they broke the law. Now, I could be wrong. I'm giving you my opinion tonight, and I'm not judging them. Only a court of law can do that. But a court of law can't even judge it until they come out and talk to a court of law. And they may not get the right court. You see, the feds aren't playing good ball in this either. The FBI, according to the Constitution and the law, has no jurisdiction whatsoever outside of the 10-square mile area known as Washington, D.C., territories of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and whatever else belongs to the United States of America, dockyards, forts, courthouses where the land is deeded and ceded to the federal government, etc. The people who should be doing that operation up there are the local people. But you see, the sheriff is an elected official. And since everybody there is related and all that kind of stuff, he didn't want to go serve those warrants. Because he might not get reelected. You understand how that works? Politics are mixed up in this, too, on a local level. Sheriff didn't do his job. So the ranchers were getting ready to form a posse, and they were going to go out there and arrest those guys, and those guys weren't going to let them do that. There would have been a big bloodbath. So the sheriff called the FBI, and the FBI came in. Coincidentally, they waited long enough to coincide with April the 19th so that they could demonize these guys in connection with the bombing of the Oklahoma Mira Federal Building. You see, we've thoroughly researched this, folks. What I'm telling you tonight is the truth. When I tell you it's my opinion, it's my opinion. Only a proper jury of their peers in the proper venue, jurisdiction, court, can judge whether or not they're guilty and what exactly they're guilty of, if they're guilty at all. All I can do is tell you what our investigation has uncovered. And what I believe. I believe these guys have wronged some people. I also believe that two wrongs do not make a right. You see, these are the same guys that vilified the Federal Reserve for the way that they do things and the way they create money out of thin air and the way they use it to steal things from other people. And when you get right down to it, isn't that exactly what the Freemen were doing? Creating money out of thin air. I've even seen some allegations that they hoped to flood the economy with so much of this money, so many millions of dollars, that it would hasten the economic collapse of the United States economic system. I don't know if that's true or not. That's why I'm telling you. I have seen allegations of that. But whether that was their intent or not, and I don't think that they ever started out with any kind of intent like that until they found out what they were able to do. But I do know that they wrote money orders, checks, vouchers, whatever you want to call them, because I'm not sure what the exact term is, for millions, millions and millions of dollars that don't exist. And they use some of that money to buy things from other people who were unable to take those checks and get their money back. And that's why the fellow, the doctor down in Phoenix, was arrested. He went and bought several four-wheel drive vehicles with one of these money orders or checks or vouchers or whatever it turns out that the proper term is for this, that was signed by Leroy Schweitzer. And this is not an allegation, it's an actual fact. We've talked to the people at the car dealerships who accepted these things, thinking that they were genuine, and turned out that they were worthless. This guy had the title free and clear to these vehicles, and these guys were standing there with the Leroy Schweitzer's signature, and they couldn't do anything with it. Nobody would accept it. So, ladies and gentlemen, and I think maybe that these guys were sort of double-crossed. In fact, I know they were double-crossed. There is no doubt about it whatsoever that they were double-crossed. I've been trying to warn you for a long time that there was an operation to infiltrate and control or destroy from within patriot organizations, militia units, freemen organizations, the whole works. And it looks like that the freemen were betrayed by not one, but maybe two or three people. Several militias have been betrayed by some of these same people. And all of this is going to be in the next issue of Veritas, the whole result of our investigation into all of this. And we believe that Old Bobo Grits went up there once again working for the FBI, although it was done in a manner this time so that you can't really make a direct connection. But look what he did and look what he said when he came out. We know that there were two Trojan horses inside with the Freeman. One, Stuart Waterhouse, came out just before Greitz went in. Greitz went in and then came out and vilified the Freeman, literally vilified them, said that they're the same as the Weathermen, the terrorist group that was roaming around, 20 years ago, or maybe more than that, and said that they were a bunch of religious wackos and all kinds of stuff. He said they're going down. He also said, and this did not come from the Freeman or from the FBI, it came from Bobo Grits, said that the Freeman were refusing to let some people who were in there who were not Freeman go, and that now it's a hostage situation. You see, Greitz is laying the groundwork with the Patriot community so that the FBI can go in there and do whatever they got to do. I've been telling you for years, Greitz is a Trojan horse. He is a Trojan horse, and I don't know how long it's going to take before you get it through your head, but you better get it through your head sometime or other. I remember hearing somebody call me and said that Bill Greitz was on Tex Mars' show, and Tex Mars was just fawning all over him. I called Tex, and I said, Tex, what are you up to? Don't you know who this guy is? He says, oh, he's a fine Christian man. I really, really respect, and I love old James, Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz. I love him, and he's welcome on my show anytime. I told him what we knew and the evidence that we had and everything else, and sent him some tapes that we did, the broadcast, the hour of the time, exposing this man. And he wasn't going to hear any of it until all of a sudden, he realized and he heard Bo Greitz's own broadcast where he was preaching the mystery religion of Babylon to the people of the world. And so Tex Mars had him back on his show to question him and get it straightened out, called in on his show. And by golly, in his own words, Greitz has convicted himself once again. Once again, and it's all on tape in his own words, and you can get it from Tex Mars, ladies and gentlemen. You can get it from Tex Mars for $10. Well, yeah, for $10. You can get the tape called The Rise and Fall of a Man of War, The Tragic Example of Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz from Tex Mars. One of his greatest supporters, loved him and believed that he was what he said he was, and found out that he's not at all. And I hate to tell you all that, but it's true. Absolutely, 100% true. And he says that he resigned from the Mormon Church. And I'm telling you right now, he did no such thing. No such thing at all. You see, when someone leaves the Mormon Church, no matter what circumstances it is, they are ostracized by the Mormon Church and by the Mormons and are publicly excommunicated. No such thing has happened to Bo Greitz. And he's the only one in the history of the Mormon Church that has escaped that kind of treatment. So I'm telling you right now, it's a scam. It's a 100% scam. Greitz is a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. Greitz was a member of Delta Force. If you understand the mystery school, you understand the meaning of Delta. If you don't, get the tapes on our Mystery Babylon series and it will explain it to you. Delta Force was the first anti-terrorist organization of the United States government. A terrorist is defined as a patriot or militiaman. Greitz, when he first came out, was infiltrating Christian patriot groups. And he was telling them that he was one of them, believed what they believed. believed in their religion and their church and was a Christian. And it was a lie. Eventually, these groups found out and they kicked him out. His credibility began to go down the tubes, so they arranged for a phony trial under phony charges in Las Vegas, which was not even the proper venue. They charged him with having a phony passport, and he made hay with this, with the Patriot community, and everybody flocked to him, including me. I thought he was the greatest man that ever walked upon the face of this earth, and I would have marched into the gates of hell with him, until all of a sudden, he gave me a handshake one day that was the Masonic handshake and had nothing to do with a broken finger from the war. He would dig his thumb between the second and third knuckles of my hand when he shook my hand. One night at Las Vegas, he held me in the embrace of the 5 points of fellowship late at night, thinking that I was a Freemason for some reason or other, and whispered Mahabon in my ear. He didn't know that I understood. The next day when he got up to give his talk, when he introduced himself, he said clearly to the entire crowd at Freedom Call 90, and it was on tape, but he has conveniently made all those tapes disappear of his speech only. He said, "I am a Freemason of the 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite." He said it twice on the Billy Goodman Happening. In 1989 and 1990, when Billy Goodman was asking him about his background. On one memorable night, Billy Goodman said, "I don't know anything about this Freemason stuff. What is it?" And Grice explained to him how it was a brotherhood existing for the good of the community, and they did good works and built hospitals and all of this kinds of things. When Grice went to Sedona to talk, he told those people there that he had tried all the different religions that he could find, and he had not found one ever that he could believe in. You see, because they're all New Agers. And he had to say that to them to get them to follow him. And then when everybody began to catch on to it, and those who listened to this broadcast pinned him for what he is, he announced that he had resigned from the Mormon Church. He did not go to save Randy Weaver at Ruby Ridge in Idaho, ladies and gentlemen. He was working for the FBI. They called him. He was working for them, and he was wearing a wire the entire time. Sorry that you had to hear all this. Sorry that our country is in the state that it's in. I am sorry that I have to do broadcasts like this, and I am deeply sorry that you have to listen to them. And I'm sorry that we're going to face the trials and tribulations that lie ahead. But nevertheless, all of these things are reality, and we must deal with reality. Good night, and God bless you all.
I've seen trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue. Me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends in I hear love.